Hello, dear listeners. You are on the podcast Research Lives and Cultures. I'm Sandrine Soub, and I'm sharing with you a series of very short interviews with academics. These interviews were recorded a few years ago, so people will have progressed in their career. Many of them will maybe have been research fellows or just lecturers when we interviewed them. And since these interviews took place, maybe they've already been promoted to being professors. Maybe they've changed institution. Maybe they have switched career. Who knows? Just giving you a little glimpse of the career at a point in time of these individuals who are sharing some wisdom, some insights, some key learnings that they've had during their research career. I hope that you enjoy these short interviews that were done, as I've said, several years ago. Still lots of insight to gain, lots of interesting ideas that you may acquire from listening to these interviews. I hope you enjoy them.
My name is Madeleine Yotzlin, and I'm a Vice Chancellor Fellow at the University of Sheffield. I'm doing research in differential geometry. So I do research in very abstract mathematics. I'm interested in smooth shapes, and in particularly I'm interested in finding symmetries in those shapes. I think I've always loved mathematics. As long as I remember, I was in any case very good at mathematics. And I went to a high school where I could learn a lot of mathematics. I had a lot of hours, and my teachers were very encouraging. For them, it was out of the question I was going to do mathematics. So I just enrolled myself for a degree in the same city where the mathematics department was actually quite good. And I did my whole undergraduate studies there. At the end of my undergraduate study, I wanted to do a PhD, but my supervisor thought it would be better for me, more enriching, to go in another group, in another city, maybe in another country. And I had become very interested in Hamiltonian mechanics and symmetries and reduction. And my lecturer gave me the name of actually a figure in that field, who was in Switzerland, so actually not too far away, a couple of hours away. And I visited him, and we found that we could work together, and I got a fellowship relatively quickly. The environment was wonderful. It was one of the best schools in Europe. It was a beautiful environment. And my supervisor was giving me a lot of freedom to choose my own research agenda, while at the same time encouraging me a lot to give a lot of talks and to publish papers. And that's what I did. I started with publishing a paper on the results I had in my undergraduate thesis. And at the end of my PhD studies, I already had at least 10 publications that I could use as evidence for postdoc applications. Towards the end of my PhD studies, I was wondering how easy it would be to get a postdoc. So I started early to apply for postdoc positions. And I got a 2 years position in Germany, where there was somebody close to me scientifically. And since I wanted to go back to Germany to create new contacts there, I took it. But at the same time, I wanted to go to the US, because I had heard from more senior colleagues who were trying to get a permanent job that sometimes it was the feedback they got after rejections, that they had never been to the US or Canada. And I applied for fellowship from the Swiss National Foundation to go working with a big figure in my field in Berkeley. And I got that, and I postponed it until until I had done 1 year of my German postdoc. So while I was in Berkeley, I applied for permanent positions already, and I was offered a research fellowship in Sheffield, that was going to be tenured to a lectureship after 3 years. And it was around the time where I became a mother. And part of the decision was that a research fellowship would give me flexibility to be a mother and do research. And also my daughter was American, so I wanted to give her a chance to learn to talk English. And the third reason was that there was somebody in Sheffield who was scientifically very close to me, so I was planning to work with that person. When I was in Sheffield, I continued my research. It was some follow-up from earlier projects. I used some new ingredients like graded geometry to understand things I'd been doing before. And I developed a new project that linked my differential geometry or my study of symmetries with differential topology. I developed a quite strong project that I'm working on now. While I was in Sheffield, I did continue to publish papers and to give talks at conferences, but I had actually many research guests. The first year of the fellowship, I really did concentrate on research, but after that, I found I wanted to get more teaching experience and more a better understanding of how the institution works. So I volunteered to teach. I taught two times the same module. The first time was a bit difficult. The second time was actually really good. And I sat on committees, on equality and diversity committees. And because I had my first position with some responsibilities, I became aware that there is actually a difference. It is more difficult for women to succeed in academia, maybe especially in mathematics. And I wanted to know why, to understand why. So I learned a lot about unconscious bias and stereotype threats. And I worked on educating colleagues via an equality and diversity seminar. And I also worked on improving myself with regards to this. So correcting my own biases, but also improving my self-confidence and assertiveness. In Sheffield, I'm setting up together with some colleagues from the mathematics department and some artists an exhibition that aims to show how hyperbolic geometry appears in nature. So we are trying to recreate a forest floor via knitting and crochet. And crochet is a medium that is now known to be the best medium to create models of hyperbolic space. So I've got this opportunity to share my enthusiasm with people who don't know anything about mathematics but actually know those shapes, and I'm really looking forward to see what they will think about the exhibition and how much mathematics we are going to be able to teach them. So over the last few years, I've been thinking that that my career, my moving around because of my academic career, is maybe cutting my daughter now, because I'm now a mother, is cutting her from her roots and from her family. So I've made a long-term plan to go back to Germany, where her family is, let's say within 5 to 10 years. And because of that, I've decided to take on a research, to do a research stay in Germany for 1 year, in order to strengthen my collaborations and connections there, and in order for her to get to be there. So I've always loved doing mathematics, and it has never stopped over the last few years. I really enjoy doing research or learning new mathematics by just spending a day reading some new results. So I know that's really what I want to do. I really want to stay in academia and do research my whole life, if possible. But for my self-confidence, it has always been quite useful to know that with the competence that I have, or the experience with big institutions, I will always be able to find other interesting jobs if I don't manage to make a compromise between my career in academia, my family, where my family want to live, where and how we expect to live. I think it is useful to ask colleagues, more senior colleagues, who are maybe where you want to go, or I mean, in as a matter of career, to ask them for feedback or their opinions about what you're doing at the moment. So to ask for this advice, to follow it, but also to trust yourself and know what you want.